We're doing Maaseh Shimshon. We're going to continue with the seventh section. We left off with all of Shimshon's joy, and now he's marrying the Timnis, and he returns to take her, and we know en route he finds the lion, and he finds that lion that he killed last time filled with honey. And we continue, and we'll quickly read through the seventh section, and then come back and review it with more analysis. So let's run through it. Hen mifleot tamim de'im ashura. The wonders of he who has such complete knowledge, I behold. Tamim de'im, the one whose da'at, his knowledge is tamim, is whole. Ashura, I see. The word ashur means to see. Halom asher naveru, or gaveru, over here they have been so awesome. Mi ben gviat zegur aryeh nofetzufim yatza. From the carcass of this lion, sweet has dripped forth. Umamatok mimenu, what's sweeter than this? Mini ochal yatza ma'achal lanu. Mini ochel yatza ma'achal lanu. From the consumer came out what food that could be consumed on our behalf. Mini ochel. From the ochel, the consumer. Yatza ma'achal lanu. Food came out for us. Me'az, from the brazen one, came out matok, sweet. Hine flia dat. This is something beyond comprehension. Achmi emaleil gvurot tzureinu. But God does amazing things, and who can recount all the amazing things that our rock, that Hashem, does on our behalf? Yafli gvurotav afle vafele. Hashem does awesome things that are completely wondrous. Mini choshchat tzarot oray yazriach. From the darkness of affliction, God makes light shine. Chosen yeshuotav, the strength of his salvation, he makes shine. Miben tzalmavet, from the shadow of death. Hine etzot her ani kaet. Shimshon says, look at what God showed me now. Betzetvash migufat shachal, honey came forth from the body, from the carcass of this lion. Why did God show that to him? Because it's a sign for me, says Samson, that sweet is still going to come forth from this vile entity, the Philistine Empire. It must be I'm right in marrying this girl. So Shimshon sees the sign. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. When in life you see signs, right? God is talking. And we like to think we know what he's saying. So Shimshon is convinced this is the right move. This is the woman to marry. Okay? Atale darki elech botach. Shimshon says, now I go with full confidence on my path. Al yom chatunati velev sameach. I go to my wedding day with a happy heart. And this is classic. Down to the wedding day, he has doubts. And you think it's only because he's marrying a Philistine girl. I have news for you. It's the way of man. Everyone has doubts. Down to the wedding day. Ach shafra darki umatzaleicha. But my path is so good, so successful. Neged Hashemi. I am going down a path that's opposite God. Opposite, not counter, but rather that God faces that path. Vechen agila. And so I have reason to rejoice. Ken el tuv chasadav la'adochila. So too I continue hoping for eternity, for his great, for his kindness. Ach zayom tasis nafshi samecha. This is the day that my soul rejoices. This is the day for my happiness. And Samson goes and marries the girl and makes the party, the famous Sheva Brachos, and then gives the riddle to the Philistine. So that's Act 7. Now let's analyze what's going on here. So basically Shimshon says, wow, so amazing. God gave me this wife. Life is sweet. This is perfect. And he stands there and marvels at what he's gotten, this great wife. But after he's marveled at how wonderful it is, he sees another thing and says, wow, if honey can come out of the lion, this must be a godsend. This is a sign. I'm going down the right path. Now, one of the things that Ramchal is revealing to us in this whole story of Shimshon is that Shimshon really, really likes the girl. Meaning we could have said, Shimshon's marrying the girl, this is all part of his plot. You know, it's like the guy I told you about who went undercover into Lebanon and became an Arab sheik, and he was living a dual life. So you ask yourself, did he love his Muslim wife as much as his Jewish wife? Did he love her at all? Or was it all a coy while he was undercover on behalf of our army? I don't know the answer to that. But there would also be room to wonder with regards to Shimshon, does he love the Timnis or is it all a plot? Like the Pasuk seems to say, Shimshon was looking to have a claim against the Philistines to actually start terrorizing them. So from the Pasuk, you're not sure. Did he love her or didn't he love her? But Ramchal is very clear. He loves her. So we continue. Let's go back to the 7th chapter. Okay, we begin. Hein mifleot tamim de'im. So this pasuk, we have to open up the book of Job. Job 37. It's very humorous what Ramchal did over here. So the first sentence is, I now behold the amazing things of God whose knowledge is complete. And Ramchal over here is playing a fantastic game with these words. So let's open up to Eov, the book of Job, 37. Okay. You guys with me? Now, just so you understand, these words, Timim De'im, appear in this place alone, in Job 37. They don't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. So there's no room for confusion that maybe Ramchal meant one thing or the other. This is the pasuk he's referring to. So let's see. The words, the two words, Tamim De'im. He says, the wondrous things of God whose knowledge is complete. The word Tamim De'im. The third and fourth words, that term to describe God, he says, is wondrous things, but he calls God Tamim De'im. That term, that description of God appears only once in Tanakh, in the book of Job. And basically what's happening, as we know, is Eov is having this argument with his friends. He says, you know, I'm just, I'm okay. And his friends are telling him, no, you're not. And Eov says, I don't deserve this. And his friend says, yes, you do. And finally, we reach the speech of Elihu ben Barachel. And Elihu says, give me a minute, let me say something. You know, finally, I have what to say too. Even though I'm younger than everyone else, I have what to say. So he says, let me tell you a little bit of the amazing things God does, and you don't understand, Eov. Do you understand the ways of God? No, you don't. And that's basically the theme of the whole chapter, where Elihu is saying, you don't understand, that's true, but you don't understand other things either. So he says, look, do you understand how rain works? There's a little thing God does in this world. It's called rain. Do you understand how it works? No, you don't. And then he goes and describes. He says, if you look at that, I get so amazed at rain in the world. Pasuk Aleph, af lezot yechad libi v'yital mimkomo. Over this, my heart shudders. My heart leaps from its place. Shimu shamo berogez kolo vehege mipiv yetze. Because you hear the sound of rain. You hear the wrath with which the rain comes down. You hear the thunder. You see the power. Tachat kol ha-shamayim yishreihu. God sends the rain and its voice can be heard all the way under the heavens, ve'oro al kanfot ha'aretz, and the rain sends light throughout the land. Acharav yishag kol, and the sound that roars, the thunder that comes after the rain. Ve'oro an kanfot haaretz. I skipped the pasuk. Ve'lo yakvem ki yishama kolo. The thunder and the lightning, the thunder doesn't really come out late, but we hear it later than we see the lightning. Yar'em el bekolo nifla'ot ose gdolot velo neda. And so Hashem uses these awesome effects, the sound of thunder, the sight of lightning. This is how Hashem shows us a little bit of His awesome might, which we don't really understand. Eov, you have questions about God. Well, let me tell you, Eov, you don't understand. Ki lasheleg yomar, because God commands the snow. Hevei aretz, go down to the ground. V'geshem atal v'geshem itrotuzo, and God sometimes commands the powerful rains of His might. Be'ad kol adam yachtom, ladat kol anshei ma'aseu. God keeps His secrets sealed, that no one knows to forecast accurately what God is about to do. Look at the snowstorm we're in right now. With all the forecasting, no one warned us how bad it would be. V'tavo chaya v'mo'arev, uv'omonotea tishkon. Even though the animals, they know rain is coming. The animals sense before a storm and they go to rest in their proper place. Min ha-cheder tavo sufa, God sends a tornado from wherever He stores His winds. Umi mezarim kara, and from the constellations He sends cold to the world. Minishmat elit and karach v'rochav mayim bimutzak. It's God blowing, so to speak, when God makes it icy. V'rochav mayim bimutzak, and then He makes the water expand to the point where there's ice covering things, and the water becomes solidified. Af pri yatriach av yafitz anan oro. Even at the time where the air seems crystal clear, af biri, even when the air seems crystal clear, and it seems like there's no rain on the horizon, nonetheless, Hashem could make the clouds come in, yatriach av, God makes the clouds work, yafitz anan oro, and has the clouds spread their light, which is a metaphor for the rain, the light that a cloud affords. That's how it shines on earth. Vehu misibot mitapech betachbulotav, and that cloud travels to and from and does all kinds of tricks. Lefalam kol asher yitzavem al pnei tevel arza, because sometimes you see all the clouds coming and then the storm passes and it didn't rain on you, it rains on the next town. Sometimes the clouds play these tricks, right? We know that. That's what someone commented. Every year we have these warnings of the storm clouds on the horizon, that a terrible storm is coming. So far in my history in Israel, most of the last decade, we've had warnings like this, and it never came true. We never had a storm like this. Every time the storm passed us, and by the time it came here, it cooled off, and it was only rain, or it didn't rain at all. So Elihu is telling Eov, no one can accurately forecast when it's going to rain, how much. The clouds play these tricks. Im leshevet, sometimes God uses nature and the clouds and the rain as the snow, as His staff to punish. Im le'artzo, and sometimes Hashem uses it to give rain to His earth. Im lechesed yamtzeu, sometimes God uses clouds as a way of showering kindness to earth. Hazina zot Eov, listen here Eov, listen to what I'm telling you. Amod v'itbonen itflotel, stand up and look at the amazing things God does. Hateida v'sumelo aleihem v'ofia or anano, do you know when God arranges the clouds this way or that way, or where it gives rain. Don't you see there's an order, there's a plan? You think it's all a question of nature? Look around. There is no nature. If there were a nature to things, you could forecast them accurately. Hatedal mifle she'av mifle'ot tamim de'im. This is the pasuk we want. Elihu is giving this whole speech. You don't understand, Eov. God is awesome. And things are beyond our control, and there's no system, and you don't understand. Do you know Mifleshei Av? Do you know the paths that God sets up for the clouds? Sometimes they go this route, sometimes that route. You don't understand Mifleot Tamim Deim. The amazing things of God, whose knowledge is complete. And those are the key words which Ramchal took from here. And that's the game here. Ramchal is putting these words in the mouth of Eov. And he's saying, Mifleot temim deim ashura. He says, I see the wondrous things God does. Do you really? Elihu ben Barachel is describing, you look at the clouds and you don't know to forecast accurately when it will rain, when it won't rain. You can't forecast God. And Shimshon's mistake is that he thinks he can. He thinks, I know, this is right. And he even says, I have a sign. Obviously I'm right. This is the correct shidduch for me. So here we have a very scary concept when it comes to marriage. On the one end, we work hard to find the right one. And we're supposed to work hard. On the other hand, you never know 100%. You do the best you can, and then you realize that at this point it's logical to get married, and we'll work to make it work. You guys remember the story of Rav Moshe? The tshuva of the guy? Yeah? Okay, we'll go over the story again quickly. A guy sent a letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, I'm dating a girl, it seems right. The only thing is, I'm not 100%, so I want to rent a hotel room for me, a hotel room for her. We'll live across the hall from one another. She'll bake the food, and we'll live like husband and wife for a week or two. We'll see that everything works, and then we'll get married. Is it mutter? Is it considered immodest? You know, she'll be in her room, I'll be in mine. There won't be any yichud. We'll meet in a public place. We'll eat breakfast, lunch, dinner together. We'll spend our lives together for 2 weeks. Is there any problem from a modesty standpoint that she should bake my food for me every day, etc.? So first Rav Moshe answers his questions and explains to him why it's permissible, being that they're going to be careful not to transgress the laws of Yichud, etc. So the fact that she's baking the food and everything else, that's not a problem. It's not considered immodest. And then he says, but listen here, buddy, that's not the way to do it. You know, you date a girl and then you think it's right. And then Rav Moshe uses these important words. He says, after you've verified to the point that it's logical to verify, you get engaged and married, b'tikva shehi hamzumenet lo, with the hope that this is the one God had in mind for you. You know, you do your best, and then you realize there is no 100%. There's always going to be areas where you have to make it work. Surprises, the morning after, or in the words of one of the guys, you always marry thinking she's Rachel and wake up the next morning to discover she's Leah. However you want to word it, there are going to be surprises. But Shimshon is convinced, I see the way of God, and that's the most dangerous. When a person feels like he knows the way of God, then it's very hard to talk to him. You see, his parents want to talk to him, and they're getting nowhere. So it's funny that Ramchal puts in Shimshon's mouth, he puts these words, I see the way of God. And he's quoting from a pasuk, which is from a whole chapter, discussing how you don't see, you don't understand the ways of God. But if we would look one pasuk onward, maybe we'd see a little bit more humor. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Asher Begadecha Chamim Bashkit Eretz Midarum. And the simple reading of the pasuk is, your clothing is warm when when you have quiet from the south, because the northern wind makes the air cold. And he's saying, when you don't have the northern wind, so then your clothing can be warm. But maybe the word begadecha has another reference. You guys know what the word boged means? Boged means a traitor. Asher begadecha chamim, your traitor is hot. Okay, the rest I leave for you. Let's go back to Shimshon. Hein mifleot tamim de'im ashura halom asher gaveru. What? Who just got there? Can't hear you. Which Moshe? Ah, shalom, shalom. Okay, back to Shimshon. There's a nice thought over here. Shimshon feels like God is shining on him. And you guys will see, when a person gets engaged, very often that's the feeling. The feeling is God's shining on me. And in truth, the halacha also views it that way to a degree, because the halacha says that a person has his own private yomtiv when he gets married. The Sheva Brachos is his own yomtiv. You know, we don't do work during Sheva Brachos. It's your own yomtiv. It's your own Chol HaMoed. He says, "Mi ben gviat zegur oyeh nofet tzufim yatza." From the carcass of this lion, such sweet has come out. Umamatok mimenu, what's sweeter than this? Now the inference is obvious. That's the way a person feels about his wife. Right? The sweetest thing in the world. Mini ochel yatza ma'achal lanu. Now, there's another metaphor here, which we won't go into, but you should be aware of it. Throughout Tanakh, intimate relations is referred to as eating. The verse in Mishlei describes a woman committing adultery, it says, "Achila umachatafia." She eats, then wipes off her mouth, "V'amra lo falti aven," and says, "I didn't do anything." So the metaphor seems like, you eat, you get your face dirty with chocolate, you wipe it off, and you say, "I didn't do anything," right? But the truth is, that's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about being intimate and then cleaning herself up and saying, "I didn't do anything." So throughout Tanakh, we have this metaphor where eating, where being intimate is sometimes referred to as eating. Even with regard to Yosef, the verse says that his master gave him everything, ki im halechem asher hu ochel, aside from the bread that he would eat. That's also talking about his wife. The bread that he would eat is a reference to Potiphar's wife. It says he gave Yosef everything but his wife. And the Torah calls it the bread that Potiphar would eat. So there's this idea. You notice that even in Kriya Shema we say, Asher atem zonim achreihim. To look after one's eyes, to look at beautiful girls, is called to feed one's eyes. Zonim achreihim. A woman of ill repute is called the zona, one who is feeding everyone, right? The word mazon is food, and a zona is one who feeds everyone. Again, using this metaphor where we refer to, in Hebrew we try to use clean language, so the idea of intimacy is very often referred to as eating. We have another concept that appears throughout Shas, and that is that we say you have your upper face and lower face, men and women. Just like you have an upper beard, you have a lower beard, which is a reference to the pubic hair. In halacha, we don't have a word for pubic hair. We call it zekan tachton, the lower beard. That's the halachic reference. And this is the idea. We say the mouth is in between the 10 fingers, and by the same token, the the male organ or the female organ of reproduction is in between the 10 toes. So that area, we keep it private, obviously, but in halachic terminology, is very often referred to as the lower face. And that has many, many applications. So this idea that Shimshon speaks about the sweetest thing coming out of the lion, the sweetest food that can be consumed, you have to realize there's another metaphor going on here. The consumer has produced something to be consumed. I don't know if the Philistine men used to take Jewish girls. I'm unaware of that. But nonetheless, the idea that she is called his food is a concept we find throughout Tanakh, that intimacy is described as eating. Yes, Benny.
I don't know if I should ask this or not, but what relevance does pubic hair have in halakha?
Pubic hair is the first hair that a person usually gets as they hit puberty. And so halakhically, when we define a person as an adult, that they brought two hairs, so the halacha says it's enough that he brought two hairs in the pubic area. He doesn't have to bring two hairs on his face or on his chest. Usually the pubic hairs are first to appear. There are other relevances, but that's the most prevalent one. Okay? I mean, another relevant point is in the book of Judges we discussed that the women in ancient times used to shave their pubic hair. For whatever reason, it was common knowledge, even in the days of the Talmud, that a woman with pubic hair could end up castrating a guy. And that's what we saw in the story of Pilegesh Begiva. He got so upset at her because he found her with a pubic hair. And he said, "You're endangering my life. What are you doing this for?" And Chazal even tell us that when Amnon was raping Tamar, Tamar found a way to use her pubic hairs to castrate him. So we see that this was something that was a possibility in the days of Chazal. The Sephardi women till today, they still have this custom that they won't let that hair grow. They'll always keep it shaved. That custom goes back to the days of the Talmud. Okay, going back to Maisa Shimshon. We got 5 minutes. It's interesting that he calls the lion Az. Now this is true in Tanakh as well. Az means brazen. It's not a term for strength. It's a term for someone who's brazen. And brazenness is usually not complimentary. We Jews pride ourselves in that we're not brazen and that we have shame. And the Philistines are, I guess, referred to as being brazen. We continue, Hine Thlia Da'at. Shimshon says, this is amazing to understand the way God works. Now, it's interesting that Shimshon will use the root Plia, because the root Plia is the root that the Torah uses to describe a Nazir. How do we say Nazir in English?
Nazirite.
Okay. So Shimshon is a Nazir, right? We know Shimshon has grown his hair long. When the Torah describes one who becomes a Nazir, it says, Ki yafli lindor neder nazir lazir lashem. The term plia is a term that's used in the Torah to describe taking a vow to be dedicated to Hashem. Achmi yemalel gvurot tzureinu. Who can recount the awesome things of our rock, of our strength, of Hashem? Okay, so we want to understand what's going on here. Mi yimalel gvurot tzureinu. So let's open up to Psalms, to Tehillim Kuf Vav, quite possibly the most awesome chapter in all of Psalms. And we're going to see that or at least parts of this speech by Shimshon are taken from that chapter. Tehillim Kuf Vav. I'm not. Second, Tehillim, Kuf, Raf. Name Kuf Vav. It doesn't want to work. It's not good to me. One second. Still not giving it to me. Why not? Here we go. Okay. Tilim Kuf Vav. So let's begin. Hallelujah. This is a chapter in which King David praises, but describes all of Jewish history. What's unique about this chapter, there are many things. He describes our history. We will just go through a small segment of it. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chasdo. He begins by saying, give thanks to Hashem, He is good. His kindness is eternal. Interesting. God is good, His kindness is eternal. When do you say such a thing? When you feel like the sun is shining on you, when you found your wife, when life seems great. So Shimshon, mi yimalel gvurot Hashem. Yeah, we know this pasuk, right? Who can recount the awesome things God does? Mi yimalel gvurot Hashem, yashmia kol tilato. Who could give praise and recount all the mighty things God has done and give all His praise? So, if you look down the chapter, what you really see is a description of how God is always doing good for us, and we continue rebelling. He begins, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Chatanu im avotenu evinu v'irshanu. We sinned. Avotenu v'mitzrayim, our forefathers in Egypt, they didn't take note of your awesome things. They couldn't remember all your kindness. You took them out of Egypt. They rebelled on Yam Suf. You saved them from the Yam Suf, and their enemies went down. You took them through the desert, and enemies attacked, and you kept saving them. But we continued forgetting. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mi'aru shachachahu ma'asav. They were quick to forget God's actions. Lo chiku la'atzato. They weren't willing to wait for His plan, His advice. So that's very interesting that this is the pasuk that Shimshon uses, Miyimalel Gvurot Hashem. We'll just take a peek. If you go down to pasuk Hey, that's the one pasuk in Tanakh that uses the word Lismoach. Lirot betovat bechirecha. King David says, remember me, Hashem. Zochreini Hashem birtzon amecha. Remember me as you do good to your nation. Pokdeini bishuatecha. Remember me as you grant salvation. Think of Samson's end. He also uses the term zochreini. Lirot betovat bechirecha, lismoach besimchat goyecha, litalel im nachlatecha. This is the one place in Tanakh where you have the word lismoach without a vav. There's one other place where the word lismoach appears with a vav. The word lismoach appears only twice in Tanakh. Shimshon in his speech will also use the word lismoach at the end, in his next speech when he speaks to the Philistines. He says, now is the time lismoach. Interesting as you look at where the word lismoach appears. So it's possible that Ramchal is alluding to our Jewish history, that Hashem continuously does kindness even as we rebel. Hashem ultimately will gather us from the nations even though we have gone astray. And that's the message of this chapter, and perhaps that's what Ramchal is also alluding to with Shimshon. Shimshon will repeatedly sin. He will go with the Timnis, he will go with a woman of ill repute, he will go in Aza, and then he'll go again with Delilah, and Hashem will constantly save him. And finally, he will be among the nations, he'll be taken into captivity to the Philistines, and again Hashem will save him. And maybe that's the illusion over here, that he uses this term, Miyimalel Gvurot Zureinu. Who can recount the might of our rock of Hashem? And perhaps we have to start here again next week with a discussion What is Ramchal trying to teach us about Gvura, about real might? Because that's an underlying message of this whole play. Shimshon, with all his might, is going to fall in the hands of a woman. So what is true might? So maybe we have to come back to this next time. So I think you guys have